But even in this series and this teaching, that this is more of a time of equipping for out there rather than a building up of something to respond in here. Does that make sense? And we're going to continue to do that. It has its place, but I feel as if this series is more of an equipping and a strengthening and an enlightening, giving us revelation, giving us understanding for what we need to do in order, once we leave this building, to begin to put our faith into action. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, there's no way we could catch everybody up on what we've been saying. Let me just say, if you were unable or if you missed last night, we had just a fantastic, fantastic outpouring of the Holy Ghost. In fact, we had one receive the gift of the Holy Ghost last night. Brother Julius. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We had another, Sister Sandra's cousin, I think that's who it is. And she was here and she was so close to getting the Holy Ghost. And we understand, I understand that coming out for Wednesday night, our Wednesday night revival prayer requires sacrifice. I understand that. And I just want to thank everyone who made the sacrifice. If you were able to make the sacrifice to be here, we understand that some are just absolutely unable to be here. We also understand that there are some with a tweaking of your schedule or a willingness to sacrifice in certain areas that you would be able to be here. And we appreciate everyone who was here last night. And I know the Lord blessed us for that. Somebody said amen. Amen. I made the statement last service, and I feel to make it again this evening. The statement is this: I do not believe that we as apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled individuals truly understand the power and the authority that is at work in us and through us because of the Spirit of God that is in us. I just don't believe, maybe I'm not talking for you, I'm talking for me, but I know I don't understand fully the power and the authority that is at work in me, that I possess because I'm a child of the King. We looked at this text last week, but just let's look at it again just as a jumping off point for this evening's word from the Lord. Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. Luke 9, 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. Somebody say power. And authority. Somebody say authority. Over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. So we see that we have been given power over all sickness. And we have been given authority over all demons and spiritual opposition. But here's what we need to see specifically this evening. For immediately after he equipped them, he then sent them out. He gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Verse 1. Very next verse, 2. And he sent them out. He empowered them in order to then release them into a broken and a messed up world. Hear me. It is not the will of God at all for us to have received this power and for us to have received this supernatural authority and then just sit on a pew and do nothing with it. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but the Holy Ghost is going to push us a little bit or a lot. It is not the will of God to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and just sit on a pew and do nothing with the power and the authority that we have. Oh, hallelujah. It's like having a Lamborghini and keeping it parked in the garage. You got all that power and you never get it out on the street. You keep it locked up in the garage. You go out and polish it every once in a while. Look what I have. Look what I possess. You ever got it out? No. And see, this is what we do as apostolics. In fact, as I began to prepare and as God began to talk to me about this, I had to put the computer down. I had to put the study books down and I had to just repent. And I just in my office repenting because I realized that I have had this supernatural power and authority in me since I was 5 years old. I received the gift of the Holy Ghost when I was 5 years old. And I had this power and I've had this Holy Ghost since I was 5 years old. And I have hardly seen anything close to what I should have been seeing as it applies to the things of the Spirit, the miraculous, the supernatural working, the dunamis power that is at work within me. I've seen a few things, but I haven't even come close to seeing what I know God wants me to see and what God has promised for me to see. How many of us have had this great power and this great authority residing in us for years and decades, and yet we don't have too much to show for it? Are we saved? Yes. Have we seen a few things here or there? Yes. Do we have a few stories that we always talk about over and over and over again? Quiet now. Yes. Have we been involved in the miraculous a time or two? Or yes. And yet our personal miracle stories and miracle happenings, supernatural happenings, are few and far between of how God used us. The power and the authority within us to accomplish something in the lives of the hurting. We know we're not seeing anything like this book says we should be seeing. Now listen, we can get all upset, okay? Pastor's pushing us a little bit here tonight and we don't really like it. We can get all upset about it. But let me tell you something. It's true whether we want to admit it or not. And we can resist it. And I'm talking about myself. We can resist it and we can kind of just focus on the few little things that we have done and say, well, I've done this and I've done this. Or we can just get honest and say, you know what? I've parked my power and authority somewhere and I take it out for a spin every great once in a while. And then I go park it again. So we can get all upset about this or we can just get honest about it. We can just get honest about it. I'm not seeing what I should be seeing. I don't know anybody in this room that's seeing what we should be seeing. Why is that? Thanks for asking. I believe it is that way because we have become comfortable with our little lives. We've become comfortable with our schedules. We've become comfortable with our things. We've become comfortable with our ways of doing things. We've become comfortable with our wishes. We've become comfortable with our wants. We've been comfortable, become comfortable with our dreams. We've got our life routines. We've got everything all planned out just like we want it. And we leave no room for those moments when we might say, like Peter, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come out and walk on water. We don't have room for those moments because everything is taken up with all the other stuff in our lives. We've worked so hard to bring comfort to our living that the moments for getting out of our comfort zones come few and far between. We work so hard. And listen, I don't have anything against having nice jobs and good paying jobs and nice homes and nice cars and nice clothes. I'm not saying anything about that. But how many know we can make a mistake when we pursue those things so much to bring certain levels of comfort to our lives. And we get into these comfort zones, and therefore the moments where we need to exemplify real faith are few and far between, because everything's so comfortable. Now let's just get real. I have not personally seen probably 1% of what Jesus saw. Maybe some of you are a little bit more than that, and I thank God for that. But if I would add up everything, and I didn't, do all the math, but 1-3% maybe of things I've seen is that percent of what Jesus did. Okay, so here I am. Let's just be nice to me and say I've seen 3% of what Jesus did. So here I'm at. I've had the power and the authority since I was 5 years old. How old am I? You sure? See, I don't know and she don't know. I'm 37. So 32 years. 32 years I've had power and authority to do what Christ told me I could do. And I'm maybe up to 2 or 3% of what Jesus did when he was on earth. And Jesus said that I should be doing greater things. He didn't say, hey, I'm Jesus. And so if you get to do like 2% of what I did, that you're doing good. No, he said, I'm going to do a lot of really cool stuff, but greater things than these should you be doing. So here we are. Now let's just get on. Again, we can fight against this and resist, or we can just get honest and say probably every person in this room, we're probably all under at least 10% of what Jesus did. And we've had the Holy Ghost for 5 years or 2 years or 10 years or 30 years or 40 or 50 or 60 years. We've had the power and the authority at work in us. It was there the whole time. All the time. It was there. And yet we're still cruising at about 5% of what Jesus did. And he said, greater things than these should you do. Why is it? It's because I'm just going to talk about me. In my place of comfort, there's not a lot of room left for me to operate in the power and the authority that God has given me. I like to shout about what I have, but am I actually using what I have? I like to talk about what I have, but am I actually operating in the things that I'm talking about? I like to know that I have this power within me, but am I doing anything with that power? Let's ask ourselves the question. We like to shout about all the stuff we have from God. We like to talk about all the power and the authority that has been given to us by God, but are we doing anything with it? Are we doing anything with it? But if we've been at all sensitive to the Holy Ghost these last few weeks, then I know that many of us have heard the voice of God as he has been calling us out of our places of comfort in order that we might begin to see the miraculous like we've never seen the miraculous before. And in order for us to begin to operate in the power and the authority that God has given us like we've never operated in before. I hear the Holy Ghost speaking to us as a people, and he's saying, who is it in this church who's ready to see things you've only ever heard about? Who is it in this church who's tired of living mediocre spiritual lives? Who is it in this church who's tired of just seeing the same things over and over and over again, and just coming to church on Sunday, coming to church on Thursday, doing a little here, doing a little there, but never stepping out of the boat and seeing things that would blow our minds? God is talking to us now, and he is saying, I want to give you stuff you can't even imagine, and you've got the power to see it, and you've got the authority to see it. You just got to start operating in it. You've just got to start operating in the power and the authority that is in you already. In fact, this is the place where God's trying to get us to. Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, let me just back up for a moment. This is the story where the four friends bring their fifth friend who's crippled and all sick and messed up, and they got him on this cot, and they bring him to a house where church was going on, and they couldn't get in because the place was packed, so they climbed up on the roof, tore a hole on the roof, and let him down. And when Jesus saw their faith to tear open a roof and lay him down, because they know if they did that, he was going to be healed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why ye reason ye these things in your hearts? Verse 9. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. He said, it's no harder for me to forgive sins or heal. That's no harder for me, is what he's saying. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, the man that was sick of the palsy, he said, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately, somebody say immediately. Immediately, this man who was sick of the palsy, crippled all up, had carried there, immediately he arose, he took up his bed, and he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. And they glorified God, and they said this. This is where God's trying to get us. They said, we never saw it on this fashion. In other words, so here's all these people in there, and this guy gets lowered down, and Jesus touches him and heals him, and the man gets up, carries his own cot home because he's been healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. And the people that were there looked at it in amazement, and they said this, we have never seen anything like this before. It is the will of God, church, for us as a people to experience something at every prayer meeting. It is the will of God for us to experience something at every church service, at every pre-service prayer meeting, at every personal prayer time, every faith opportunity where God positions someone in the course of our day, where we step back after witnessing it and after seeing God work through us and after seeing God do something marvelous and miraculous, where we as a collective body of people step back and say, we've never seen anything like this before. Oh, hallelujah. Hear me, I'm telling you, this is where God's trying to get us to. Not where we say, ah, that was good church, kind of like what we had last Sunday. Or that was a good move of God, kind of like we had the Sunday prior. Or yeah, I saw something in my own life, but it was something I've seen before. God is trying to elevate our faith where we constantly and continually are seeing things and hearing things and operating in things and experiencing things where we say, hey, I've never seen God do it like that before. I've never seen him move like that before. I've never seen a miracle like that before. I've never seen a supernatural outpouring of God like that before. I've never seen a spirit of giving like that before. I've never never seen a worship service like that before. I've never seen a miracle. I've never seen it. That's where God is trying to get us to. That's individually and collectively. God is trying to get us to the place where more than just once every couple of years, but more weekly, we are finding ourselves saying, I've never seen it like that before. If that's what you want, put your hands together. Give God praise. I want to see it. I want to see what I've never seen. I want to walk in dimensions I've never walked in before. I want to walk in realms of the supernatural that I've never walked in before. I want to experience God like never before. But how many understand that we can't just keep doing what we've always done and see things we've never saw? If we're going to see things we've never saw, we're going to have to do things we've never done. We're going to have to get out of our comfort zones. We're going to have to step out of the boat. We're going to have to start realizing and understanding this revelation that God is trying to give us, that we have more power than what we think we have, and we have more authority than what we think we have, and we start putting it into practice. But I said, amen. One of our pastors heard this story. True story. One of our pastors overseas tells of the time where he came upon a scene. 27 people. I don't know if it was a hospital or I don't know what it was, but 27 people had died from some type of a disease. It was overseas in Africa somewhere. 27 people had died from some type of a disease. And they were being placed in the back of this truck. It was the truck for the morgue. We're going to transport them to the morgue. 27 of these people were being put in the back of this deal dead. This man of God went over beside that truck. And as those workers were carrying those bodies and laying in there, as they would move by him to put him in the truck, he would lay his hands on the individual. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Each body that was placed in there, he would lay his hands on them, pray the prayer of faith over them. What the drivers of that van did not know was that while they were driving to the morgue, the Lord began to breathe life into the back of that truck where those bodies were. So that by the time they got to the morgue and opened the back doors, all 27 of those people were sitting up fully alive. Oh. Hallelujah. Now, you see, we have to understand something. And I felt this in the Holy Ghost. I knew what I was going to tell that story, and I felt the Holy Ghost check me and said, here's the spirit you're going to come up against when you tell that story. 27 people dead. One guy prays for them. They open the door, and they're all alive. I'll clap a little bit. But I just don't know. Holy Ghost told me what I was going to experience. And here's why. Because we've never seen it. You need and I need to understand something. Okay? We come to church here every Sunday all the time. And we see stuff here. But we have to understand the church is bigger than just right here. Let me tell you something. We have brothers and sisters, apostolic brothers and sisters in the Lord, who have literally seen not one or two people raised from the dead, but hundreds of people raised from the dead. See, this is where we're struggling right here. And it's fine because this is just where we're at. Let's just get honest about it and let's move forward. If we haven't seen it, we don't really have the faith for it. And that's why we just keep seeing the same stuff over and over. And that's why we're not operating in the dimension of faith and authority like we should be and like we could be. We need to understand these things, that God is no respecter of persons. Now listen, that's not Pastor Anthony saying that. That's the Word of God saying that. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. If we have if apostolic brothers and sisters in the Lord have seen those type of things. Now, whether it's the same thing that they saw or whether it's different things but on the same level, we also should be operating and seeing the same. Why? Because God is no respecter of persons. And so if he will work through one to see those kind of things, then he will work through someone else. And if he'll work through that one, then he can work through you. The difference is that there was an individual. How many of us, now let's get real. How many of us would have stood by that truck and they're bringing 27 body bags out and we would have the faith to believe, I'm going to pray for all 27 of these dead people and they're going to be alive. We probably wouldn't have done it. Right? And that, I feel sorry for their families. Man, that sickness, wow, that's a bad thing. 27 people, man, they got wives and kids and husbands. Whew, I'll be praying for their families. God will strengthen them during this time of loss. Right? It's quiet in here. Does that person have any more power than we have? No. Do they have any more authority than what we have? No. They just have a greater revelation of the power and authority that they have. And they're willing to put it into action because they understand that God is no respecter of persons. Now watch. Let me just tell us where we are, okay? Luke 9:1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 6. And so they departed. The Lord sent them out. They departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. He gave them the power and the authority to heal the sick. They went to all the towns and they healed the sick. It's awesome. That's wonderful. Thank God. Verse 10. And the apostles, when they were returned. So the Lord gave them power and authority, sent them out for a ministry trip. They go out, they preach around a little bit, heal a bunch of people, and they come back. Verse 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. So I can just see it. You know, here's the apostles, the disciples, and they're coming to Jesus, and they're like, Jesus. And you got to hear this one. This one's awesome. There was this lady, and man, she was blind, and I was a little afraid at first, but you gave me the power and the authority to do it. So I stepped out, put my hand on her, you know, and Lord, you healed her. The power and authority that you gave me, it worked. And then one of the other disciples said, yeah, that was good. But do you remember that one? That guy came and he was lame. Well, yeah, that was great. But do you remember that one service where that? And so this is what's happening. They're talking about all this stuff. And this person was healed. And this person was delivered and all this kind of thing. And so when they returned, told all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, so Jesus gets his disciples and said, okay, let's go out here for a while. We're going to rest a little bit. You're going to tell me these stories. It's going to be great. So they go outside to outside of town. And when the people in the city all round about heard that Jesus and his disciples were outside in the country area, they followed him and he received them. He said, come on, come on, it's fine, come on. And he spake unto them of the kingdom of God. So Jesus starts preaching to all these people and healed them that had need of healing. So now here we see that all these people now are getting healed. They're all getting healed. And not one, stay with me, please. I need your minds. Not one time do we see that the disciples doubted God's ability to heal these people. All these people are coming out. They're bringing sick folk. They need healed. And Jesus is healing them, healing them, healing them. And never one time do we read that the disciples were like, oh, here's a bad need. I don't know if you can do this one. Never one time do they doubt the Lord's ability to heal. Why? Because they were operating in a level of faith that was familiar to them. For they had just came back from a healing crusade. These disciples had been involved. Their level of faith had risen to the level where they personally had seen healings. So now they come back to Jesus and Jesus starts healing people and they're cool with it. They can believe it. They don't doubt it. They know it because they have faith for it because they've seen it. They've operated in that. Then watch what happens. Luke 9 and 12. And when the day began to wear away, so they're having church, it goes a long time, starting to come night. Then came the 12 and said unto Jesus, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get some food. For we are here in a desert place. There's no food here for them. Send them away so they can get something to eat. Verse 13. Watch what Jesus says. So Jesus turns and he says unto the disciples, he says, you give them something to eat. I know we're in a desert. I know there's no food enough for all these people. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Except we should go and buy meat for all this people. He said, there's no way. We don't have enough food unless we're going to go buy food for all these people. And then they said, there's 5,000 men. Do you see all those people? Not counting women and children, Jesus. Do you see how many people are out there? And you just said for us to feed them? How? There's no way we can feed them and so, unless we go buy food for them. And you know, they were starting to add up their money. And how much money do you have? You have any coupons anywhere? Watch. The faith for some physical miracles was present. But when presented with something they had never seen before. When presented with something that they had never witnessed before. Listen, they didn't even have an element of faith. They weren't even thinking in terms of faith. They were thinking in terms of humanity. How much money? How much should we go buy? Where are we going to buy food for all? What is that? That's man's ability to fix something. There's no faith involved in that at all. What I want you to see is this. The number of people in the crowd, which represented the vastness of the need, was bigger in their minds than the God that was with them. And when seeing the largeness of the need, we've got 5,000 men, not counting women and children. How are we going to find how many? We got a few loaves, man. And this is so big, this is so vast, this is so large. When seeing the largeness of the need, their faith wasn't anywhere to be found. Hear me, church. The reason why God has been talking to us these last few weeks is not because we don't have faith. It's because for many of us, our faith has stopped at that which we've already seen and that which we've already been involved with. As long as we just keep it on a level that we're familiar with, we have faith. As long as we just keep it in our comfort zone, we have faith. As long as we just keep the services like it was last Sunday and we're cool with it. Keep the moves of God like we've experienced in the past and we're cool with it. We can have faith for those things. I'll step out if I'm stepping out in an area that I've already stepped out in multiple times. As long as God does those specific types of things, then we have faith for them. But the moment you start putting something bigger in front of us, oh, the moment we start facing things on a scale that we've never faced before, that's when our faith doesn't even kick in. It doesn't even register. We start trying to figure out how we're going to fix it with our own abilities. We kick into the human element. 27 dead people. I'm going to pray for their families. The human element. Concern, compassion. The human element. I'm going to be there. I'm going to bring some soup to their family. They're going to be going through a lot of stuff. The human element, because our faith didn't even register. Our faith didn't even kick in. Our faith didn't even have a little spark that, hey, they don't have to stay dead. Am I making any sense tonight? God, as long as you keep healing people, we're not going to doubt it. We're not going to say anything about it because we know about that healing stuff because we've operated in it before. But now you're telling us to feed all these people and they didn't even think about a miracle alternative. It went to flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Hear me. Whatever place our faith stops will be the place where we think God will fail us. Whatever level we stop having faith for something is the level where we say God would fail us there. So how can you say that? I say that because if you don't have faith for it, you're saying God can't do it. But God is trying to get us to understand that the power and the authority that is within us, with that authority and with that power, we can believe Him for every miracle. Not just some of the miracles, not just a portion of the miracles, not just what we might consider a small miracle. It doesn't even make sense. A miracle is a miracle. But He wants us to understand that we can believe Him for all miracles. No matter the sickness, no matter the disease, no matter how bad it looks, we can believe God for all miracles. And we can believe God for all victory over all spiritual opposition. No matter what force might be coming against us, no matter what spirit we might be facing, no matter what spirit has been sent from hell itself to war against us, we understand we have authority. I said, we understand that we have authority. We have power over disease, and we have authority over every spirit that is not of God. We need to understand the power and authority that is at work within us. If our young people and our children are filled with the Holy Ghost, they need to understand the power and the authority that is work within them. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you the breakdown that happens sometimes. The breakdown that happens is the church looks to a few of the spiritual authority as the only ones who can operate in these things. You have the story I talked about the other day where Peter was in prison and he went and he walked towards the gate. And the gate opened. The door to the prison opened. And so you could say it like this: the door that represented the miraculous and the supernatural opened unto him. He represented spiritual authority. But then he goes to where the church was. The church was having the prayer meeting and they didn't want to open the door. He's out there knocking and the church didn't have the spiritual fortitude or the ability to believe that the supernatural was actually taking place. And so they didn't have the power to open the door. So spiritual authority opened the door, but the church didn't follow after and believe that they also could open the door to the miraculous. And I'm telling you right now, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, this supernatural stuff, this miraculous stuff, this faith stuff that God's been talking to us about, it's not just for pastors, and it's not just for preachers, and it's not just for spiritual authority. It's for everybody. Everybody that's got the gift of the Holy Ghost has the ability to open the door to the supernatural and open the door to the miraculous. You just have to know the power and the authority that is at work within you. Come on, put your hands together. Give God praise in this house. Oh, somebody give him praise in this house. Our children need to understand the authority they have. Our young people need to understand the authority that they have. Heard the other day of a young apostolic girl. She was in grade school. Who wanted to start a prayer meeting at her school. She talked to a bunch of her friends. Hey, we're going to get there before class and get there before school. We're going to go into this certain room and we're going to have a prayer meeting. So they started doing that. Well, the higher ups in the school, the administration of the school, had heard about it and didn't like what they were doing. So they told them, they said, no, you can't have your prayer meeting in the school. So they went ahead and did it anyway. And they had a prayer meeting where they found out about it. And so the next day they went to the room where they were going to have the prayer meeting. And they took a chain and they wrapped it around the two handles of the door and put a padlock on it. So they couldn't get in the room and have prayer meeting. So this grade school girl tells her friends, says, hey, that's fine. We don't need to be in the room anyway. So they just sat out in front of the room. Doors right here, chains right here, all wrapped around. Get the picture, padlock right there. They just knelt down. They went to praying. Grade school kids went to praying. Holy Ghost fell in that room. And all of a sudden that chain snapped in two. Padlock falls to the ground. Chain unwinds, falls to the ground. Doors open up. Let me tell you something, my friend. I don't care if you're 5 or 10 or 15 or 20. I don't care if you're 50 or 80. You've got power. You've got authority. And it doesn't matter who tries to stop you. It doesn't matter what force might try to come against you. There's no devil in hell that can stop an apostolic filled, Holy Ghost filled saint of God. We've got to start operating in the power and the authority that is within us. There's no enemy that can stop the church. And the church is operating in the power and the authority that God has given them. I'm almost done. Heard today of a group of people overseas. Our missionaries are telling the story. Group of people overseas that were trying to literally. Now, we understand, I think we all understand that everywhere is not like America. Okay? So we have apostolic brothers and sisters overseas. And there was a group of people over there that were literally trying to kill them for their beliefs. They were bringing revival in the land and just stirred up the spirit world. This group of individuals got together trying to kill them. God kept protecting them and protecting them. And so finally they said, you know what we'll do? We'll pretend like we're ready to be converted. And we'll call these apostolic preachers and ministers. And we'll say, hey, why don't you all come down to such and such place. And we're all going to be there. And we want you to teach us your doctrine. We're ready to convert, to get baptized and all this stuff. Well, what the apostolic brothers didn't know is that they had already figured out that once all the preachers and the ministers got into this, it was a kind of an open air thing, that they had gunmen hidden in the bushes round about that were going to jump out with machine guns and just go to blasting them. So these preachers got together and they were praying. They were so excited. They thought, man, this is great. Revival's breaking out. They prayed, fasted, studied. They brought their Bibles. They got to this open air deal. And sure enough, they were only there just a few minutes. And these gunmen jumped out of the bushes and behind the trees, whatever the case might be. And they went to firing at them. The first guy that shot, his gun exploded in his hands. Second guy that shot, no bullets left his gun. There was a couple more, and so they kept shooting at them. And the apostolic brothers that were there, they told about it later. They said it was as if the Holy Ghost gave us supernatural power to run. They said because we ran as fast as we could, mile after mile after mile. Now you know what, you run as fast as you can go. Okay, some of us can go longer than others. But none of us are going to get too far running full speed. They said we ran full speed, mile after mile after mile. Thank God. What an awesome thing. Watch this. The leader of the group that had bound together to be in control, this spirit that was coming against the people. I mean, no, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The spirit that was coming against them, the leader of that group that was trying to kill these apostolic people, he went home after their failed attempt to kill our brothers over there. He went home, walks in the door, finds out that when he left his house, all of his kids were well and his wife was fine. When he gets back a few hours later, his wife, all of his kids are violently sick at the point of death. He immediately knew that judgment had come against him. My friend, you don't want to mess around with the saints of God. You hear me? I say, you don't want to mess around with the saints of God. You don't want to mess around with the church of the living God. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, I'm not saying God's going to kill you or anything, but let me tell you something. The more you keep coming up against the people of God, what you don't understand is you are coming up against the people that are filled with power and that they are filled with authority. Woo! You've got to understand, you're messing with the child of the king. You are messing with God's kids. You don't just go around messing with his kids and not expect to have some repercussions. So he walks in, his wife is sick, his kids are sick, they're on, literally, you can tell, they're on the point of death. He immediately knows, I am being judged by what, because of what I was doing. And so he tries frantically to get back in touch with some of those preachers. Now you got to imagine, they're not, you know, real keen on coming back now. You already lied to us once. I don't know how he convinced, but he convinced one of them to come. And one of these preachers walked in that house and he just simply went around the room and he would just touch every child and touch his wife. And as soon as he would touch them, boom, immediately they were healed. Immediately they set up and everything was fine. That man was so overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Ghost and what had happened and that he was spared the judgment. And he realized, hey, this is true. And so he sold his house. He sold everything. everything that he had, and he bought property, and he built a church for those apostolic brothers. He is now an apostolic preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. There's no weapon formed against us. I said no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. God's going to turn it around for our good. We've got power. We've got authority. We've just got to start operating in it. Come on, put your hands together. Give him praise. Church, we don't have to be afraid of any attack of the enemy. We don't have to be afraid of anything that hell might throw against us. We don't have to be afraid of any spirit that might oppose us. Why? Because greater is he that is in me. I've got authority. I've got authority. And that spirit is subject to my authority that God has given. As long as we continue walking in the power and the authority that God has given us, we're going to see miracles like never before. We're going to see blessings like never before. We're going to witness victories like never before. You hear me? No matter the sickness, we have power over it. No matter the spiritual opposition, we are greater than it. We need to understand the power that is at work in us. One more story and I'll close. You might have heard, I might have told this before, but T.W. Barnes, powerful, he passed a few years ago, powerful, powerful, anointed man of God. Several years ago, I read a book on a Thursday night talking about some spiritual things that T.W. Barnes had witnessed in his life. Just blow your mind. You can get the book from headquarters if you'd like to read it. This guy saw so much stuff. One day, he's sitting at his office. It's in the middle of the day at the church, pastor of the church in, I think, Louisiana, and his secretary knocks on the door. She said, "Pastor, there's somebody here to see you." He said, "Okay, send them in." This woman walks in. She's all dressed, all crazy. And she said, "I am a witch." And she said, I've been sent to curse you." He says, back in his chair, and he says, "Go ahead." He tells a story. He said, she starts just doing all this mumbo jumbo all around his office, and she's putting stuff all over his whatever, oil or whatever. I don't know what she was just making all these noises and chanting and doing all this kind of stuff. She stayed there for a while, a little while, until he said, finally I got bored of it and I told her to leave. I said, go on, get on out. And she said, I'm putting a curse on you. I'm sending a spell against you. She said, you are going to be so tormented at night that you will not be able to sleep. You won't be able to sleep, and it's just going to drive you literally insane because you won't be able to sleep at night. That's the curse I'm sending against you. So that night, he didn't care, didn't think nothing of it. He went home, got in bed. About midnight, he said, all of a sudden, he in the spirit, he felt this spiritual opposition come into the room. Seen it. Didn't feel it. Seen it. It was a spirit. Comes into his room. He sets up, and he says, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. But he didn't just command it to leave. He said, I command you to go back to the one who sent you. A few days later, the witch calls. I got to come to your office right now. He said, come on. He said, what's the problem? She gets to the office and said, what's the problem? She said, Pastor Barnes, she said, ever since that night, she said, you sent that spirit back to me, didn't you? He said, yes. She said, I haven't been able to sleep. She said, that thing has tormented me. She said, I am literally going out of my mind. She said, you have got to pray for me right now. I can't go one more night like this. He laid his hands on her. God instantly delivered her. Let me tell you something. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. We don't have to back down. We don't have to back up. We don't have to be afraid. Greater is he. We have power. We have authority. We have power. We have authority. We have power. We have authority. Power over sickness. Authority over spiritual opposition. There's no devil in hell that can stop the revival that God wants.
wants to give us. There's no devil in hell that can stop the revival God wants to give you in your home, the revival God wants to give you in your marriage, the revival God wants to give you in your relationships. You just have to stand up and start operating in the power and authority that you have. Stand to your feet right now. Lift your voices. I want you to begin to give God praise. I want you to begin to worship Him and magnify Him like you know you have power, like you know you have authority. You don't have to back down. You don't have to back down. You don't have to back down.